You're listening to Sky Women's Health Podcast, your evidence-based resource for women's health and wellness, exploring the holistic principles of osteopathy, integrating mind, body, and spirit, designed to empower you as your own healthcare advocate and help you live your best life. I'm your host, board-certified OBGYN, Dr. Carolyn Moyers. Welcome back, Sky community. I am so excited to have with me today, Dr. Sarah Cigna. If you don't know her, you are going to be glad that you showed up today because she is an OBGYN at George Washington University. Sarah, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself because she's doing all things fabulous in sex med.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. So yeah, I'm Sarah Cigna. I am an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at GW in Washington, D.C. I've been there since I was a medical student. So I've been in that area and in this department for a very long time. I am also very involved in ISWISH, and that's the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health, which is how you and I have connected, and I've connected with so many other amazing sex med providers. I'm the current education chair, just started this spring, and excited for some of the programs we're going to have coming up. And then I started the Saga Center, which is the Sexual Health and Gender Affirmation Center, of which I'm the director, and started the first ever fellowship for gynecologists, for OBGYNs, who are interested in a career in sexual medicine. So we're really so proud of that. It's like, it was my dream. And for it to be happening now, just 6 years out of residency, is like, I just pinch myself every day. We have our first fellow, Katie Dumas. She's doing amazing things. She just gave grand rounds the other day, which was awesome. And she'll be graduating in the summer. And then we'll be taking a year off and recruiting very soon for a next fellow in 2025, 2026. So that's kind of what we're up to.
That is so exciting. That is so exciting. So for any of my med students who might be listening, it's a year of fellowship.
Yep. 1 year.
After residency.
Correct.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, so exciting because there's so little that we're taught about sex med and OBGYN residency, which I think shocks most people, right? Mm-hmm. They think their OBGYN is going to take care of this issue because they take care of all the intimate parts.
Exactly. I think that when you go through, even in medical school, you have a lecture on sexual health and you think you're going to get some of these answers. And then the word orgasm just doesn't even happen.
No, and you're like, it's more like sexually transmitted infections.
Right. And birth control. That's it.
Yeah, not pleasure.
That's what we learn about. That's sexual health. And even now I'll be talking to somebody. They're like, oh yeah, we had a sexual health curriculum at blah, blah, blah place. And I'm like, okay, well, how many times did you talk about orgasm, desire, arousal, pain? And they were like, wow, zero for all of them. And I was like, okay, so that was not a sexual health curriculum. That was contraception and infection prevention curriculum, which is also right. Very important, but there is a lot more to it.
Right, right. We're missing a piece to the puzzle. Exactly. Okay. So since I have a seasoned expert here with me, we're going to talk about a couple of topics that I think leave people really baffled. Okay. So the first one is female orgasmic disorder. And when individuals are feeling sick after an orgasm.
Yeah, this is it's a less common issue with orgasm. Probably
right.
Kind of zoom back a little bit and talk about the bigger orgasmic picture. So patients who come into me for orgasm concerns, the most common thing is because they can't have one. That's the most common complaint right. That they get. And then when there are patients who can have orgasms, it can be that they're having too many or spontaneous orgasms. And that can be really distressing because obviously if you're standing at a bus stop waiting for the bus, you don't want to be having right. An orgasm. That's not ideal for most people. So those are a separate set of conditions. And then there are these kind of peri or kind of like around orgasm symptoms that people have that we don't know a lot about. And when you do a lit review for these, which there are a few reviews that have been done in the last 10 years looking at different symptoms associated with orgasm and sexual activity, it's really fascinating. We just don't know much about what's happening in the brain when this goes on. And post-orgasmic illness disorder, which is what you're referring to,
right.
Is when people really feel ill. I mean, some are just, it's described as like a flu-like state. They're having headaches, nausea, extreme fatigue, sometimes other symptoms like sweating, heart racing, but not in a, I know some people are going to say heart racing, of course, right? That's what happens.
Right.
But I mean, this is in a persistent way. This can last for days. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at 2 to 7 days is how long this is lasting afterwards, which is, I mean, that's a little, if you want to have sex more than once a week, you're out.
Right. Right.
So it's really, this is more than just refractory period, which is the period of time after orgasm when you may need some rest before becoming mm-hmm. sexually active again. This is more than that. This is really feeling ill for a longer period of time that's very disabling. So these patients, they'll often avoid sexual activity completely, a big mm-hmm. deterrent to being intimate with their partner, which is problematic.
So whenever I did some research on it, I came up with more information for males than females, which I found interesting, right? And I think often we just don't talk about orgasms in women, right? And we haven't certainly done study it. But I found this really interesting. And a particular patient who came in her 40s originally was in menopause and very symptomatic. We treated her and she was kind of optimized in her hormone therapy, feeling great, has a new partner. And this is a new experience for her in her mid-40s to have this illness after an orgasm. And she thought, I don't even know what in the world this is. But it immediately with arousal and orgasm that she had the headache and the nausea and just felt out for the next 2 days.
Yeah, I think the research discrepancy is very obvious in this part of sexual medicine. When I was doing a quick lit search before talking to you and kind of just refreshing myself on what was out there, the first several articles are literally the first line is post-orgasmic illness syndrome is a problem for men. And like there was right. like no mention of women at all, not even right. like also women, also people with vaginas and vulvas, nothing.
Right. Right.
So that's one thing where you kind of just have to realize like we just don't have all the information. And to patients who are listening, people out there who are listening, part of this is on us as the medical community doing the research. We need to do a better job because that's
right.
ridiculous. When it comes to how orgasm happens in people's brains, across genders, it's the same groups of parts of the brain, the amygdala, right? There's dopamine involved. There's all these different neurotransmitters, which are chemicals in the brain that affect how the brain communicates with the rest of the body. But between sexes, there's differences in hormones. And I thought one thing that was interesting in looking at some of the male literature, just to kind of understand better, well, what do we know about it in anybody, is that there are some studies showing improvement in these symptoms with use of androgen antagonists. So actually altering, and then also oppositely, testosterone supplementation. So it's an interesting thing. I think it's going to be similar as more research comes out to desire, which is also a very brain-centric function of sexual function, where we're going to see that there's actually different mechanisms that people have that are dysfunctional and causing these symptoms. And I think there's going to be different approaches, which is why you see such an array of treatments from anti-inflammatories to things like hormone modulators or even things like beta blockers, which are medications that we use to either slow the heart rate down, decrease symptoms of sometimes anxiety, in addition to their indication for blood pressure.
Right. And so we don't actually know what causes it, nor the treatment. Because I've had some people who are like, well, am I allergic to the sperm?
And that's one of the pieces of most interesting research is around autologous sperm injections to help people become less potentially allergic to the ejection of sperm from the testes. And it hasn't really shown to be significantly improved as far as I can see from research. I don't have experience in that, I'll be totally honest.
Yeah.
Men, but, and I don't even know what the equivalent would be for women. So then we're like, we're kind of stuck again. Like this doesn't actually answer the question. So I think definitely more research needs to happen with orgasm. We say in ISWISH all the time, orgasm is the next frontier for sexual medicine. It's the place where we have the least evidence, the least really high quality research. Although people like Dr. Komisarek have done amazing studies looking at MRIs, like functional MRIs, literally seeing what's happening in the brain while these systems are working and doing their job correctly, and then also doing them incorrectly. So I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out to better help people. But in the meantime, I would say the one piece about orgasm that I always try and get across to folks who are taking care of patients is headache, because headache can actually be a sign of something really bad, like an aneurysm. So if someone's having like a thunderbolt headache around the time of orgasm, they really should see a neurologist for potential imaging, because that can be a symptom of an aneurysm.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a really important point. And it goes to show also that with orgasm, whenever things aren't functioning properly, it can be a sign of other dysfunctions in the body, right? Like cardiovascular disease, if we're having difficulty with orgasm. So definitely something to take into consideration. It doesn't happen in a silo. It's all biopsychosocial. We have to take care of that biology.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. These sexual problems are really sometimes symptoms of bigger systems problems. And I think people that come to me, they're asking for that. They'll tell me things that I think are really outside my wheelhouse. But when I really put my thinking cap on and really listen to what they're saying, oftentimes I can think about how things are connected and at least give them a direction to go in to talk to a different specialist, whether it's an immunologist, neurologist, et cetera, who can help figure out what is really the root of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, fascinating topic. More to come on this because there's a lot that we just don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me on Sky Women's Health Podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest content. This episode is proudly sponsored by Sky Women's Health, your go-to destination for midlife gynecology in DFW, specializing in perimenopause, menopause care, sexual medicine, and a unique thing we offer is osteopathic manipulative treatment for pregnant and postpartum patients. While we are nobody's primary OB, we collaborate with your OB to provide you comfort through your pregnancy. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Until next time, be well.